So many people are taught to depend upon somebody else and not themselves. And I think one of the greatest things you can do is take care of yourself financially. Take care of yourself in all ways possible, but financially is a huge piece of it.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Liz Faircloth.
And I am Andrea Segadelli.
We are the hosts of the Real Estate Invest Her Show. So women currently control $10 trillion of the U.S. economy. That number is going to $30 trillion in the next 5 years. Yet women's confidence in investing is low. That's why now more than ever, women have to have a wealthy mindset.
And in today's episode, we have Kim Kiyosaki. We're going to break down the wealthy behaviors the majority of the population does not know they need to do in order to become financially free. This is a hands-on episode with specific steps that you can take today to start your journey to financial freedom.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hills, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, Kim, we're so happy to have you here. I want to kick off this interview by sharing, I went to church this past weekend and the pastor was talking about investing. I was like, what's going on over here, right? This is not common. But here's what he said. He's like, the wealthy is playing a different game. And then he asked that question. He said, how many of you think that they know something that we don't know? And then a lot of people raised their hand and I was like, my son was next to me. He's like, well, I know the difference between rich and wealthy. I was like, you high five, right? But Kim,
I love that.
Before somebody becomes financially free, wealthy, live life on their own terms, there's a set of mindset, behaviors that people must follow in order to reach that goal. So we would like to break that down. We're not born, at least the majority of us are not born wealthy. So how do we gain that wealthy mindset that will allow us to become financially free?
Well, that's a great question, Andressa. So we know about, you know, lottery winners. Lottery winners within so many years, they may win millions of dollars, but after so many years, 3-5 years, they're not only are they broke, but now they're in debt. And you look at some of the wealth, the big athletic stars out there, and they get these multi-million dollar contracts. And again, within 3 to 5 years, they're broke. And I believe it's all about mindset, because if they were not wealthy, if they did not have a wealthy mindset, if they had a poor mindset going into acquiring all this extra money, they're going to use the habits that they were using then. So money comes in, they spend. Money comes in, they bring all their friends in. They don't know how to manage money. They don't know how to grow money. They use their old habits that keep them poor. So all they do is have money, but they're using the same habits. So for example, when Robert and I were starting out, we were looking at investing and what habits do we want to have. One of the first habits we said is, we called it pay yourself first. This is one of the habits. Pay yourself first doesn't mean when money comes in, you get to spend it and go on vacation or, you know, buy the nice car. Pay yourself first means every dollar that came into our household, we took 30% off the top before paying any bills, before paying anything. 10% went into a savings account, 10% went into an investing account, and 10% went into a charity or tithing account. What that did is that was creating the behavior of this is our future. This money we're setting aside is our future. So one of the behaviors was, until we had money, we had to create a way to accumulate money. So when the investment was ready, we were there. Does that make sense?
Makes a ton of sense. Kim, I'm curious too. You know, I remember reading that in the variety of books that you guys published. And for so many people, they're like, I can't do 30%, right? That's where their heads go. Or I can't do 10%. That's their immediate reaction when they start to really hear that.
That was my bookkeeper's reaction. You can't do that. You got to pay bills. I'm like, we'll figure it out. Don't worry. We'll figure it out. Yes, that is the initial reaction.
How did you figure it out? How did you really, you know, from a specific perspective, move through that?
A lot of this also, Robert, of course, had his rich dad. And so he was around him growing up and saw the habits that rich dad used. Other things that we did is we wanted to make sure that, because we understood, I didn't understand anything about cash flow at the time, but we knew that there was this thing called cash flow, and we knew that we wanted to have that coming in. And so we did make that game. We did make it the game of, let's create more cash flow coming in every month than is going out in living expenses every month. That was the game. And so it really does start with a goal, and there has to be a very strong reason why you're going to take on this goal. Because if there isn't, and things get tough, and things did get tough, I mean, we made some bad deals and lost some money, but if that goal is not strong enough, then you're going to quit. And you're going to find all the excuses why, oh, I need money for this, I need money for that. How many people, here's a behavior, how many people say, oh, when I have money, then I'll invest, right? Well, they never have the money, because there's always an emergency. There's always something to spend the money on. So that discipline of putting that money aside, and to your point, Liz, when they say, oh, I can't do 30%, it doesn't matter what the percentage is. As long as you make it that habit of, with every single dollar, with every peso, with every yen, with every rupee, you make that a habit, then that sets you on a good path going forward. So that goal is really important. Our reason why is, I'm all about freedom. I want to be free. I don't want to be told what to do by anybody. And that was the way for us to move forward. That was the game we chose for ourselves.
And when we talk about investment, in order to really take it to the next level, many people really struggle because they don't have their financial house in order. And they don't know what's coming in. They might have an idea of what that is. But they also, Kim, they don't want to look at it.
Correct.
They don't want to look at it. They barely log in into their bank account, and their financial planning is like, let me see if I am on the red or not.
Yes, they don't want to look at their 401k. They don't know what's in their 401k if they have one.
No.
Many women in marriages do not know what they have or where it is, because he takes care of it all. It's a really, really good point. And I think, address it to your point, one of the first steps is to find out what you have and find out where it is. Because you're right, most people, the only time they look at their finances is when there's a problem. And that's way too late.
I think there is an emotional piece behind it also, because they don't want to feel that they're like incompetent, or they should have done it or not. They know that they are able to go and ask the accountant, the husband, the boss, or they know how to. But they still, there is this emotional piece that is holding them back. Kim, what do you think can be the fire that will make them take that step forward? What is at stake if they don't?
Well, if you look at the statistics, and first I would say this, it doesn't matter what your past was with your money. It doesn't matter what happened or where it's like, here's where you are today. Just let's get realistic. Here's where you are today. Put all the other emotion aside. Put all the what ifs, what if I should have, could have, all of that. Put it all aside. It's here we are today. And the only thing you've got right now is today. So start here. That's number one. Start here. And what was the other question?
No, how they can overcome that. Is at stake if they don't do that?
Yes. So the stakes are high. And we see it in the statistics all the time, especially for women, especially as we get older, due to divorce, due to death of a spouse, due to poor money management. So many women, as we get older, are finding themselves in a financial crisis because they, you know, how many women say, oh, my eyes glaze over when I look at the numbers. I'm not good with numbers. I'm going to leave that up to him. Well, that is totally relinquishing any responsibility you have for your own financial well-being, for your own financial future. The only person that's going to really take care of your financial future and your financial security is you. And to ignore it and to pretend it's not important is probably the biggest mistake women make. It's not important. Money's not the most important thing. So Rich Dad used to say, money may not be the most important thing, but it affects everything that is important. It affects your education, your lifestyle, your health, the people you hang out with. It affects everything that is important. So why not make it an important part of your life? I don't know. And I love it. It's the pastor that is telling you this, Andressa, because I've met many pastors and they are all about supporting their congregation to be financially secure and financially free, because that is responsibility. And if people were, look what's going on in the world today. If people took responsibility for their own financial lives, instead of depending on the government to take care of them and handouts and welfare and all of these programs, the world would be a much healthier, stable place than it is. But so many people are taught to depend upon somebody else and not themselves. And I think one of the greatest things you can do is take care of yourself financially. Take care of yourself in all ways possible, but financially is a huge piece of it.
It does affect everything else. That's a great, great perspective. I'm curious, Kim, you know, looking at finances, like to your point, just look at it today. Like, I love that advice because so many people listening and so many women especially just would rather ignore it because it's too emotional. What's one thing we talk a lot about in our community, moving the needle, like literally what's one thing that you can do to move the needle towards really getting a handle on your finances, which so many people want? It's just so daunting because they just won't do that one thing. So what would you suggest is that first step? Like, you know, almost like, how do we create a win for people quickly so they want more of it? What would you say is that first step?
I think the very first step is you've got to decide that you're going to take this on. You've got to make that decision and find out why you want to do that. Again, going back to statistics, they talk about the elderly that live in poverty in the U.S. that I think it's 75%, 80, no, it's more like 85% of the elderly living in poverty are women, yet 80% of those women were not poor when their husbands were alive. So he dies, she has no idea where anything is, and somebody comes along to help her, and next thing you know, she's broke. So one thing is making that decision is very, very important. I'm going to do this because this is the reason why. For me, it was freedom. And we talked about the next step is finding what you've got. Find out where it is. That can sometimes be a difficult conversation for women if they're married. And if he's the one who's doing all of the investing and taking care of the money, oftentimes the man will say, oh, she handles all the finances. No, she pays the bills. But the investing and the big decisions, money decisions, usually are left up to him. So sometimes that's a tough conversation to have because he might feel threatened, or how come you're asking me this? Do you not trust me? Da, da, da. But maybe just approach it from, hey, what if something were to happen to you tomorrow? Because it could. What if something were to happen to you tomorrow? Don't you want me to understand what we have and where it is so I'll be able to take care of myself if that should happen? So find out where you are. And then the third thing I would do is there's also all types of investments out there. You know, the four asset classes, there's business, there's real estate, paper assets, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, there's commodities, gold, silver, oil, gas, coffee. Look at those four asset classes and see which one speaks to you most. which one are you most interested? Which one looks like the most fun? Because you've got to be really interested in what you're going to be learning about. Otherwise, you're not going to learn and you're not going to take action. So I would start there and then start getting some education. Find people who are doing what it is you want to do. Because people who are successful, oftentimes they want to share what they know with somebody that's just learning. I do it all the time. You guys do it all the time. And I want to applaud you for the work that you do with so many women and educating them and teaching them and getting them to take care of themselves financially. So get a little education, maybe find a mentor or talk to people. There's all sorts of organizations like Investor. And then at some point, you want to put a little money. You want to get in the game with a little bit of money. You know, there's things are happening today that are very, very different. For example, you know, we buy a lot of gold and silver because gold is a hedge against inflation. We have inflation. So if inflation happens, if the dollar loses more value, becomes less valuable, then gold should hold its value. So we're buying, you know, we buy gold, we buy silver. Bitcoin, that's a whole nother discussion. You know, you can buy a little bit of Bitcoin, but if you buy a little bit of Bitcoin, you're going to get very interested in what it's doing, what the price is doing. I mean, right now it's taking off pretty quickly in the last few days. So get in the game at some point. If it's real estate, start small. Start with a small property. Don't go into a big, you know, I'm going to do this big, you know, 100 unit apartment building. No, because you're going to make mistakes. You don't know enough yet. So you want to learn. The best way to learn is to get in the game. So I would just take just baby steps. It doesn't have to be daunting by any means, but the most important thing is to get educated. I find for me, I do better if there's one or two or a group of people that want to learn together. One thing that we do as a group in the company and with people around our company is every week we have a video that we watch. It's usually on macroeconomics typically, but not all the time. And then we get together once a week for an hour and we discuss it. So it keeps all of us educated. It keeps all of us informed and what's going on in the world. So maybe get a group like that together and commit to once a week. You're going to do that because it's really fun to learn. It's really fun to learn something new that you haven't done before.
Before we start talking a little bit more about diversification, I want to share a resource where you guys can start learning from people who are doing. Before I do that, let's hear a word from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's Olly.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
All right. So we are talking about different types of investments, right? Besides real estate, if you're listening to us, you're probably a real estate investor and you understand the power of having properties that cash flow, that builds wealth, right? That's not enough. We want to make sure that you have other tools to your toolbox so you are able to diversify and mitigate your risk. One of the things that Liz and I are really committed to is to offer those tools and resources for women at InvestorCon, where Kim is going to be sharing her different types of transitions that she went through, how she's living her best life. But we also bring in other experts about stock market. We have REITs, we have car wash, ATMs. So you can get from the source their experience, what worked, what doesn't work, and have more tools to your toolbox. That's the game, and that's what we are talking about here. Getting the knowledge so you can make confident decisions. Talking about that, Kim, the wealthy, I feel they embrace mistakes because they understand that that brings them experience, and that experience is going to actually propel them to grow even more. But the poor mindset tries to avoid making mistakes. And I want you to speak a little bit more about that type of mindset.
And that's the million dollar point, Andressa and Liz, is that people are so afraid of making a mistake that they don't do anything. As like, how often have we heard about somebody who's analyzing a deal for like 4 months before they take any action? Because they're so afraid of making a mistake. They're afraid of losing money. They're afraid of people laughing at them. They're afraid of all sorts of things. But the only way we learn as human beings is by making a mistake. You know, you look at a baby when it starts to walk, it falls down, it gets up, it falls down, it gets up. It doesn't fall down and go, oh my God, I'm a failure. But that's what we do as adults. Oh my God, I'm a failure. No, you just learned what didn't work. A mistake just shows you something you didn't know. And now when you make the mistake, it's like, wow, okay, now I know this. I can take this with me to my next investment, and I'm going to be smarter and I'm going to be more successful as a result. If there's one thing I would say to people today is make more mistakes and make them faster. And when you make the mistake, you step back and it doesn't feel comfortable ever making a mistake. I don't like making a mistake. But then as soon as I stop beating myself up, I go, okay, what's the lesson? What did I not know? What is this teaching me right now? And so I've learned a whole lot more from my failures than my successes. So it's a really tricky little twist in the mind to be comfortable. At some point, my trainer used to say to me, you've got to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Mistakes are uncomfortable, but the smartest people in the world I know have made the most amount of mistakes.
Because it hurts the ego when we make the mistake, right? We make meaning of it.
Yeah.
And it brings us back to our childhood, right? Quite honestly, what is most of our upbringing, especially in the U.S., teach us? Is it teaches us not to make mistakes. It teaches us to get the right answer, get the A. I feel like so many times I'm working against that societal kind of script, if you will, with my kids. Because like I can see it in my son. He really beats himself up. I don't know, I think my daughter cares, but my son beats himself up. And I'll be like, dude, you either win or you learn. Do you know any mistakes that mom makes? And I keep sharing my mistakes with him. He's like, mom, do you ever not make mistakes? I'm like, hold on. I actually can make some good calls. But here's the deal. Like, we need to change the narrative for our kids. Because I the narrative I heard growing up, and it wasn't even just in my family. I mean, like, just interacting with kids in my school, everywhere. It wasn't just my home.
Well, it's school. It's school, Liz. It's what they teach you in school, the way they teach you is actually opposite of what it takes to be successful. They teach you not to make mistakes. Do not make a mistake, or you'll get an F, or you'll get ridiculed in front of the class. Do not make a mistake. Number two, do not cooperate. Do it on your own. Take the test on your own. Do the project on your own. You can't do it as a team. You got to do it by yourself. So you come out of school going, okay, don't make mistakes. Only do it by myself. You know, if you want it done right, do it yourself. The third thing they teach you is there's only one right answer. And there's so many answers to all the problems that are out there. There's so many answers to how to put a deal together. But they're taught. So you come out of school so handicapped to really take on the world. And of course, they teach you nothing about money, which everybody uses every single day. But no, we're not going to teach you about money. So to be honest, I don't know really what school is good for, except maybe a little social interaction. That's about it.
I remember my manager, when I did door-to-door sales to gain sales experience, he was the first one that passed me this purple little book called Rich Dad Poor Dad. And he said, you got to read this. And I was just finishing up my master's degree, my second. And I said to him, like, how come none of this in any of the classes? I pay a lot of money and there nobody tells me about none of those those things. I did an MBA, but I feel I don't know how to run a business. I don't know about finances. You are telling me that I can own multiple properties? Like, where on earth are we? So I think that our children and next generations, many times, like our wives, it's beyond just getting a number of doors.
Yes.
To me, it's like I want to break the cycle and change the not just my son's generation, but his children and the children of his children. I think that that's the ultimate goal here. That being said, another muscle that I think that I want to talk about to you is adaptability. Because many times we don't evolve. So what work have you done? How your mindset have evolved throughout the years, even after you became financially free?
Great question. First of all, I agree with you on teaching our kids. Matter of fact, we're close to this year, we're going to be launching a children's series of financial books. Because to your point, they're not learning anything in school and somebody needs to teach them. And a lot of times the parents don't know as well. So we're going to be launching that this year. I do a lot of personal development work on myself. I swear by that. I think if you're going to be successful, you've got to have the financial and business education, but you also have the personal development work as well. That to me is priceless. That goes along with what you're talking about with mistakes. You know, the personal development that goes with a mistake, you've got to be comfortable. You've got to be okay making a mistake. Oftentimes you're not. So I do a lot of that work on myself. I also find good mentors. I'm very, very fortunate to have great people around me. So I want to make sure I keep learning. Somebody asked me the other day, what's your greatest fear? And my greatest fear is if I stop growing, if I stop moving forward. That's my greatest fear, because then we basically stagnate and die. So for example, when you're talking about diversifying, you know, there are the four asset classes. Most financial planners talk about diversifying. They're only talking about diversifying in stocks. You know, have different types of stocks, have tech stocks, have food stocks, have, you know, business stocks, have different, that's all diversification they're talking about. When we talk about diversification, we're talking about diversifying within the asset class, but then among the asset classes. So two things. One, you know, we invest in business. We invest in our own business, but we also invest in other people's business, but only other people who we know they have a great track record, who we can pick up the phone and call. Love to be in control. If I'm going to put my money somewhere, I want to make sure I can control how that money is used. We're in real estate, of course. We're not much in paper at all. Very few paper assets, maybe some treasury bills. That's about it. And then commodities, gold, silver, Bitcoin, we're there. In real estate, because the times are changing so much and, you know, you've got these office buildings sitting empty, you've got changes with the interest rates and people aren't moving much. They're kind of sitting still. A lot of people are holding cash, waiting for something to happen. And there's going to be a correction at some point soon. But even across the real estate, you know, I've done single family, I've done fourplexes. Now it's primarily almost all apartment buildings and commercial buildings. But just last month, I bought two new properties, a type of property I've never done before. And very fortunate, when I talked about mentors, very fortunate I met this gentleman. He is a broker in this one niche that he has, but he's also an investor and he does this himself. And so we looked at a few properties, bought two properties, and they're commercial, and it's just a whole nother formula. So sometimes even within the asset class that you like, you've got to diversify and do something new, because maybe what was working before isn't working as well now. I also last year bought 400 acres of timber property. Number one, I love trees. Number two, timber is something that is going to be used forever unless something changes. So diversify among the asset classes, but also diversify within your own asset class that you feel most comfortable or you feel most expertise at.
I just want to echo what you're saying, Kim, because what we're seeing in so many places in the investing space is that the successful investors are investing in assets where there's less eyeballs. it really does come down to meaning that, you know, the timber property, I'm curious, how many, was there 17 bids with this land? I'm sure there was less people looking at that, correct?
No, that's the funny part, is this property had been sitting there for a while and it was a really good property. But I put my offer in, and of course, as soon as it's accepted, three more offers come in.
It didn't sit there.
You know, it's like when I just bought a home in Phoenix, a small house in Phoenix. I looked at all these houses and I'd put in offers that they hadn't had an offer in. I'd put an offer in, and that day they get three more offers. It's like there's a magnet kind of thing that happens, an attraction thing that happens. But again, it comes down to the person I bought this property from, the broker. He's been in this business for 50 years. He is now helping me manage the property. So it's like these different properties I'm buying, I also get a built-in mentor, which is so fun. And so learning the timber business, learning what people want, how the different types of timber, the type of different type of product, what it's worth, when you cut, when you don't cut. And I don't like to cut a lot of trees down. So I'm not doing it to make as much money as possible. I'm doing it because I love timber. I love land. And this way, this can sustain itself and continue to plant and grow. But again, I have a built-in mentor, and I just met with him a couple weeks ago, and we walked the property. He said, look at this, look at this. I'm asking a million questions. But that to me is a key. That was such a bonus, such a bonus. Yeah. I have another friend. I think you know Ken McElroy. He's our investment partner in real estate and apartment buildings. He's now looking at billboards, and he sees billboards as a real estate play, because you can buy the land, you can lease the land. The billboard, you can put as many, you can, because they're digital, you can put more than one ad up there. But again, it's another type of real estate play within the asset class of real estate, but a very different way of investing.
Love that, Kim. It's all about mitigating risk. And I know we're going to be doing a lot of that work and a lot of that education and community building at InvestorCon, where we're so excited to see you again coming up. Where can everyone listening learn more about you and just stay connected to you?
Oh, just go to richdad.com. You can see everything there. We launched our cash flow board game is now online, digital, very fun. So you can play with people all over the world. It totally mimics the board game, which is very fun, because the cash flow game was the very, very first product that Robert and I created. And then Rich Dad Poor Dad came as a result of the cash flow board game. So very near and dear to my heart.
I love that. I'm going to try with my family in Brazil. Kim, thanks so much for always being super generous with your time and with your knowledge. We really appreciate your time here with us.
Oh, thank you, Andressa. Thank you, Liz. And thank you for the fantastic work that you're doing in educating women on money, on real estate, on investing. It's so needed. And I'm really, really, I applaud you both.
Thank you so much, Kim.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this podcast and want to receive updates on our next interviews, go to our website, therealestateinvestor.com. There, you can subscribe to our show, become part of our investor community, and get updates on upcoming episodes.
If you like our show, please share with other women who would benefit. And don't forget to leave us a rating on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. And as always, we encourage you to take one action as a result of today's show and put it into motion, so you can live both a financially free and balanced life. Thanks for spending time with us.
Ciao.